8:30, we'll get this meeting called to order. We don't have a quorum yet. Representative Falk, if you want to present your bill, and we can start taking testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. And when we do have a quorum, I believe the motion will be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration, just so we know what we're doing here. Thank you for being here. This is a bill that deals with township issues and annexation issues, and it addresses some concerns that have been expressed by the townships about some overreach that has occurred regarding township rights and the rights of cities to go and annex properties. There's two sections of the bill. The first section deals with essentially not opening up an agreement. We already have two parties that are working to produce an orderly annexation procedure. And that would be similar to any other type of contract law between individuals, two persons, two businesses, any type of two parties. The second section of the bill, it deals with subdivisions of land and petitions. Annexations by petition, and basically what we're looking to address there is that if a parcel of land is annexed under petition, that it wouldn't be able to be used for the type of development for basically a period of 5 years. And the reason for that is if there is a section of land that the township is unwilling to go and either allow to go through an orderly process or is zoned for a purpose which it sees necessary to protect its residents, there shouldn't be the right for the city to come in and just take that property to go and circumvent local zoning, basically eliminating the rights of the people who originally had the jurisdiction there. And so this would, once again, either force the parties to go through the orderly process, which is what we would hope them to do anyway, because that way both parties are at the table together and they're negotiating in good faith. Right now, unfortunately, the townships, which are our smallest local units of government in terms of fiscal resources, are often asked to go and defend themselves against an uneven playing field. I might remind the committee, too, for sometimes maybe perhaps informing the new members here, that we provide county program aid to the counties, we provide local government aid to the cities. Really, the only state dollars that the townships receive are a very minimal amount of road gas tax dollars. They really don't get any type of dollars to go and support their unit of government, so they're almost entirely reliant upon property taxes for the resources to go and run their organizations. That's kind of a brief overview of the bill. I'm actually going to let Mr. Kent Sulem take over. He's general counsel for the Minnesota Townships Association, and he can do a much better job of explaining the bill than I can.
Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the tape.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am Ken Sulem, General Counsel of the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you very much for scheduling this hearing. I know that it's not easy to find extra time as we approach the end of session, but this is a very important issue of great timeliness, because the more the abuse is allowed to occur, the harder it is for townships to be able to remain viable in certain areas, and so we appreciate the willingness to have the hearing today. Section 1 of the bill does exactly what it states, protects the validity of an orderly annexation agreement. For those of you who have been around the annexation fight for many years, you know that it's extremely controversial, not only between the parties, but here at the Capitol. However, the general agreement is, if annexation is going to occur, orderly annexation is the preferred method. That's been stated time and time again as we go back and forth with our adversaries from the cities, that we all agree that orderly annexation should be the preferred method. However, what has been happening now is that we have communities that reach an agreement with a city, the two sides sit down, they work out the planning arrangements, they work out their details, and then a third party comes in and says, well, we don't care, we're still going to try to take that land, whether it be the entire township or a portion of the township. We have a current situation that you'll hear about a little later this morning. It was a huge issue in the former Wyoming Township situation between Wyoming, the city of Wyoming, and the city of Chisago, where Wyoming and Wyoming Township had a long-standing accord, long-standing planning, and at the last minute, Chisago was able to come in and cost thousands and thousands of dollars of tax dollars to be spent, destroys the ability to do planning between the communities, destroys the incentive to negotiate an agreement that everybody agrees is the proper way to do it. And so Section 1 is a very straightforward provision that simply says, if property is subject to an orderly annexation agreement, it cannot be annexed by another party. Now, they could always come in and ask the two entities subject to the OA to renegotiate and modify the agreement and annex it that way, and that'd be perfectly fine. But it would simply protect the integrity of that agreement that everybody agrees is the proper way to do it. It would save tax dollars from having to have the battle. Section 2 of the bill prohibits the abuse of a very reluctant compromise that was reached back in 2006. Again, get a quick history lesson. Prior to 2006, we had what was known as the 60-acre rule. And what that was an agreement that dates from the early 90s, where the townships reluctantly agreed to say, look, when you've got a very small tract of land that would have nominal impact on the remainder of the township, nominal impact on the neighbors adjacent to the parcel seeking to be annexed, we will not oppose that annexation. We'll allow it to go in a streamlined method. At that time, the agreement was 60 acres was that nominal size. What was happening was that communities were abusing the process by filing 5, 6, 7, 8, as many as 10 60-acre petitions and taking entire sections of land, which does have major consequences, does have major impact. So in 2006, we closed the loophole by agreeing reluctantly to double the acreage to 120, but one bite at the apple. We've had a situation arise twice this last year where a city has worked with the landowner to subdivide a large parcel into smaller acreage and then attempt to annex that property by ordinance without any input from the residents, without any input from the township, bypassing any safety net, any safeguards that are available to town residents and the township as an entity, simply by subdividing a parcel below the 120-acre threshold. And again, you'll hear some details about that a little later this morning. Section 2 of the bill says that if your parcel is too large to be annexed before the subdivision, it remains too large to be annexed after the subdivision for a period of 5 years. Why 5 years? Because we're trying to avoid the situation where they'd say, well, okay, we're just going to do a little land speculation and we can wait out a couple of months. Not a big deal for us. And so 5 years is really there to say the abuse occurs if you do it immediately or if you can do it after a very short period of time, just doing speculation in the property. And so this provides that safety net against the abuse of the process. Again, it's not intended to be new policy or new law. It's restoring the agreement that was reached in 2006 to protect that you have small tracts of land that would be appropriate to be annexed and restoring it to say that that is the agreement that was reached then. It's the agreement we're stating now. We're not seeking to repeal the law. We're not seeking to lower the acreage. We're simply saying if it's a small tract of 120 acres, great. If it's bigger than that, you still have ways to seek annexation. You can approach the town board and say, we want to negotiate an orderly annexation agreement. Here's our proposal. Here's what we'd like to work with you on. Again, going back to the preferred method. Or you could say, you know what? We're going to go for broke, and we're going to file a contested case, the hostile annexation. So it's important to note that neither the city nor the property owner is shut out of annexation rights. It's simply protecting the interests of the township and the township neighbors from end runs and abuse of the process. And that is what Section 2 of the bill seeks to do. I'd like to just comment very quickly that in attempts to negotiate with the city associations on this bill, it has repeatedly been stated that there hasn't been time. There hasn't been time. Well, I first casually raised this issue to Mr. Johnson, actually before the holidays, saying, hey, I don't have the details yet, but we've got a situation on the radar. As we worked on it and had language available, we reached out to the cities and said, look, here's the language, here's the bill, you're going to see it in tomorrow's dropping. I welcome any opportunity to talk. Well, they gambled that we weren't going to meet deadline and opted not to talk. We have the right to pursue late requests. We've pursued that avenue. Again, always saying the door is open to talk. The first time we were able to sit down to talk was this past Monday, and the option was, if you agree to drop one part of the bill, we'll agree to talk about the second part of the bill, but we're not going to tell you what we're willing to talk about in the terms of the detail. And I said, well, I can't do that. If you let me know what language you're thinking about, we could discuss, is there a way to negotiate the bill? That was not an acceptable option, and so we're here today. We think it's a straightforward bill that protects the integrity of the process, does not create new policy, simply restores the agreements that has been reached over time. With that, I will be happy to take any questions.
Any questions of the testifier? If not, we stick around for more questions if there are.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, if I could also just offer a, you know, kind of a comment here. This does nothing to change the orderly annexation process. If the two parties are engaging in orderly annexation, where they come to the table, they work together in good faith, they reach a mutual agreement, that doesn't change the process. What the process here, what this bill aims to do, is to go and correct some of the bad behavior that has started to occur, where one side, which has all the cards, is starting to abuse the side that has essentially no cards. And so you may have heard people talking to you saying that this stifles economic development or this goes and stops any type of orderly annexation. That is not the case. If you go through the process, the orderly annexation process, which is what we want people to do because it's where the process is the most fair, that continues exactly as it has been. This simply goes and avoids some of the bad behaviors we're starting to see.
Mr. Chair, if I may also, I realize I did forget a couple clarifications I wanted to make, and that is you're going to hear specific examples today of where the abuse is coming, but this bill, this legislation is crafted to address the process. It is not targeted to help or benefit any existing situation. It is simply addressing the overall process to restore things to the agreements that had been reached over the years. And so I just want to make that clear that it isn't targeted. You may hear that there isn't a need to do this because in the one situation that you'll hear about, the court took care of the problem. Well, the court took care of the immediate threat by saying the annexation had improper petitions. It did not address the underlying concern that had the petitions been properly drawn, you still could have subdivided the parcels and abused the system. And so I just want to make that very clear that while we're not addressing any one community, we're addressing the overall process. There is the example you'll hear that the court took care of the immediate threat, but not the underlying problem. And with the underlying problem there, other attorneys may draft the petitions correctly, and therefore the abuse will continue. As I said, there was a second example that occurred down in the city of St. Charles and the adjacent townships. And that was resolved when the mayor thankfully said, you know what, we're withdrawing the petition. We're not going to allow subdivision of the property and abuse because it is the wrong thing to do. It's bad for the community, and we'll work this out or we're not going to proceed. And so we appreciated that mayor's efforts to recognize that abusing this 120-acre rule was the wrong thing to do.
Thank you. Okay, with that. And members, we're going to take testimony now, and hopefully we can be fair with the testimony. I've got it supposedly set up here that pros and cons, and we're trying to divide the time equally. We need to be out of here by 25 minutes to 10 because we got session on the floor, so hopefully we can get this done today. So the next person on my list here is Steve Berkner, mayor of Ortonville. And if he can be concise, and I hope we don't have people trying to filibuster. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Steve Berkner. I'm the mayor of Ortonville, Minnesota. We're a town of about 1,800 people. We're located on the west side of Minnesota. Basically, if you get on Highway 7 or U.S. Highway 12, head west. When you hit the South Dakota border, that's where we are. I've been asked by the League of Minnesota Cities, the Coalition of the Greater Minnesota Cities, to make comments on this HF 1425 bill as it pertains to Minnesota cities, both metro and rural, and especially border cities like the city of Ortonville. Ortonville, which is the county seat of Big Stone County, has a population of roughly 1,800 people. Since 1960, Big Stone County has seen a population drop of 41%, and Ortonville a drop of 33%. The city of Ortonville provides local services such as public safety, water, sewer, and electric utilities to our local community. Our newly built hospital and clinic, which is owned by the city and is the largest employer in Big Stone County, provides health care services to up to 10,000 unique patients and a large majority of those people obviously come from outside the city limits. Ortonville is landlocked by Big Stone Lake on the west side and the Minnesota River and the Whetstone River diversion channel to the south. Minnesota communities like Ortonville need the ability to grow so that we can remain economically viable. Finding economic development opportunities are difficult and rare for our communities, especially ones of our size, and especially one as a border community. Sometimes we need to use annexation as a tool in order to make those things happen. We need to be able to use annexation by ordinance, which when necessarily and carefully used, can be used to bring economic development to our area, and I would stress that we need to use that carefully. Recently, Ortonville did an annexation are in the process of a conditional use permit phase for a new granite aggregate quarry, and this new business will bring badly needed jobs, an aggregate tax, electric utility revenues, as well as expanding our city's local tax base. Some of the estimates for this proposed quarry would have a direct impact to our general fund and also to our electrical fund between $50,000 and $150,000 a year. That's not playing with any multipliers for economic benefit. That's a direct flow into our general fund. If Representative Falk's bill had been made law when we started this process, the city of Ortonville would not have had this opportunity, and this project would most likely have died or would just move on to South Dakota. This is the types of things that we see all the time as a border community. When opportunities come, a lot of times we can't respond quick enough, or these economic opportunities usually just pass us right over and head on into South Dakota. 2 years ago, there was an example of this. The Pomida store that we had in the city of Ortonville had long been there. In fact, my whole life had either been a Gibson store or the Pomida store. Shopko had bought out Pomida and was in a process of doing quite a bit of an expansion. They had come to the city of Ortonville and to the landlord who they were renting from and asked for expansion opportunities to get a store up to 30,000 square feet. At the time, we had a store that was 8,000 square feet. The landlord at that time was kind of struggling with coming up with a property that size, where to put a piece of a building of that size, and he approached the city council and some of the local business owners to get some input on how to do that. While working with Shopko, they identified three possible locations, two of which were on the outside of Ortonville city limits, and one of them that was actually would have raised or tore down one of our hotels that was on a major intersection. In the process of trying to respond to that, the city of Ortonville had about 1 year, maybe just a little over a year. Shopko changed its mind, and even though they were ready to ink some type of contract, decided to close that store. Within 2 years, semi-trucks pulled up to the front door of that Pomida store, took that inventory and moved it to Sisseton, South Dakota. Those are the types of things that we have to deal with out there. And a bill like this, which would put a 5-year moratorium on those types of order or of annexation by ordinance, would really cripple communities like ourselves and other rural communities when we have to react to things like that. I'm not only concerned about the city of Ortonville's well-being, but for all the other communities in the state as well, that will obviously find themselves, due to probably some unintended consequences of this bill, without the possibility of an annex in any timely manner. Minnesota's metro, rural, and border communities basically oppose HF 1425 in its present form and request that it be put on hold until all parties would have a chance to have input in its premise. There is a letter that you'll be receiving a little bit later that kind of addresses some of these issues, probably in a little bit easier manner to understand. And at this point, I could take questions if there are any.
Any questions for the testifier? If not, thank you, sir. Next person on my list is Kathy Long Henry.
Good morning.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the tape. Thank you.
Kathy Long Henry. I have been in Ortonville Township, a resident for approximately 40 years. I am a Main Street business owner, and I serve on the Ortonville Township Planning and Zoning Committee.
Yeah. Sir?
Mr. Chairman, committee, my name is Al Webster. I've been an Ortonville Township resident for 25 years. I'm a farmer, and I've served on the Ortonville Township Board of Supervisors for 13 years. Ortonville Township is located on the western border of Minnesota, south and east of the city of Ortonville, and along the headwaters of the Minnesota River. We're primarily agriculture with a residential area along Minnesota Highway 7 and 75, overlooking the Minnesota River Valley and a proposed aggregate quarry site. We have only 6 miles of township road, but have the city tree dump, the city lagoon system, a rock crushing mine, a dimensional rock quarry, and 2 gravel pits. We have long been the dumping ground for undesirable projects for the neighboring city of Ortonville, and our residents have had enough. January 5th of 2012 was the first public hearing before the Big Stone County Planning and Zoning Commission on a conditional use permit to open yet another quarry in Ortonville Township. Strata Corporation never approached the township board or our residents about the project, and that hearing was the first time we were allowed any input or even knew the project was being seriously considered. After several hearings, it was clear that the county was unresponsive to the concerns of township residents, so in February, the township board passed an interim ordinance to put a moratorium on new development to allow time to study the project and to begin our own land use planning process. Despite the township's moratorium, the county commission went on to approve a conditional use permit for the strata quarry, but apparently believed that the township's moratorium blocked their project. So instead, the landowner of the proposed quarry site subdivided the nearly 500-acre parcel into 6 string and balloon parcels, each smaller than 120 acres and with a panhandle that touched the city boundary. And gifted all but one of these parcels to family members while retaining mineral rights on them. We have a map.
Are we allowed to pass?
Yeah, why don't you give it to the page? Sir, page? Don't know his name. It's new, I don't know his name, so. Tom, sorry. Sorry about that, Tom.
We've color-coded each parcel there, so you can kind of see on the far left side, one parcel runs straight up and down, then each parcel comes in. Each parcel has a letter there, like lot J, lot H, lot K, lot M. And that little blue line there is also a parcel, so there's 6 parcels there. We believe that the subdivision was done so that the landowners could do an end run around the state's 120 annexation by ordinance limit and petition the city of Ortonville for annexation of the proposed quarry site. This tactic meant that the city could attempt to unilaterally annex the property without a fair state hearing. During the city of Ortonville's Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing on annexation of the 6 parcels, city officials would not allow township residents and other concerned members of the public to comment on the intended use of the property. In other words, we were told not to say the word quarry. We couldn't even talk about why the city wanted to annex the properties. The city passed all 6 annexations by ordinance, and the township submitted its objections to the State Municipal Boundaries Adjustments Unit. An administrative law judge denied 5 of the 6 annexations by ordinance because the original owner retained beneficial ownership through the mineral rights to the remaining parcels. The city of Ortonville has appealed that decision, and the township voted to intervene on the side of the state. HF 1425 would close the loophole that the city is using and require annexations for large projects to be decided by the state, which is only fair. The township thinks that the city's end run around the 120-acre limit is unfair. The township believes that large annexations should be done cooperatively, if possible, through the state's orderly annexation process. If this isn't possible, then large annexations should be decided in a state hearing before an impartial judge so that everyone is heard and so that the interests of township residents can be protected. It isn't fair to allow city officials who are not elected by and do not represent township citizens to unilaterally annex large amounts of lands for industrial projects where one government entity overruns another just because they can for economic reason, crippling the one who lost. If properties are allowed to be subdivided, then what's the point of having 120-acre cap at all? Any developer could just have its lawyers figure out how to cut properties into small pieces, smaller than 120 acres, while still keeping the properties under the control of the original owner or some developer. House File 1425 would have helped our township and will help others in several ways. Its passage will encourage landowners and corporations planning large projects to work with township boards and residents instead of ignoring their needs and concerns. It will help strengthen local control in Minnesota by allowing townships to pass interim ordinances. Take the time to study development and do land use planning for the long term without the threat that our land will be seized by a neighboring municipality and our way of life will be diminished. And it will give communities and companies a reasonable time frame to develop good projects that benefit both parties over the long term. Thank you.
Sir?
Yes.
And you are? You're the Paul Blackburn?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I've got a couple other people to testify first. You weren't on the list that have asked and come down from Duluth, so I want to get them in next.
Mr. Chairman, that may be my fault. I know Mr. Blackburn represents he's the attorney that represents the township, so I just asked him. We can have him at the end of the hearing as well, too. So,
Ms. Longhair, do you have something to say? Or
no, I believe he's
okay.
Covered it.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? I guess I have one question. You said that you were told you couldn't mention quarry.
Oh, no. We had the city planning and zoning hearing, and the commission sat at the table with their attorney, and they specifically said that this is about annexation. It's not about quarrying, so it'll only be about annexation. And in the annexation application per se, they had mentioned things about wanting better law enforcement, things that the city could provide that the township couldn't. Well, they wouldn't also talk about those issues either. But so,
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question relates to litigation and where current litigation is or appealing. I think Mr. Solem mentioned that the bill would not affect the Ortonville situation. Then I think we just had testimony saying that there's a provision under appeal. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to know if we've got active court case going on and what this bill does to any open court action.
Mr. Webster.
I need help with that one. I'm sorry.
Mr. Sulem or Mr. Balky, Mr. Blanken? Mr. Sulem.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill would not have impact on any current litigation. The law would be applied as it existed when they were starting the process. Again, this bill addresses the process overall. It would apply immediately to any annexation efforts filed on or after the effective date of the bill, but it does not go retroactive to change anything in any current litigation.
Thank you, Mr. Sulem. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Shepard's not here today.
Mr. Shepard's not here. No, Ms. Dyson.
Ms. Dyson, do you have any opinion on the bill relating to whether, if there's a case under appeal, the impact of the bill on any case?
Ms. Dyson?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I don't know of a case that's on appeal. The Ortonville matter was heard in the Court of Appeals. Not the Court of Appeals, the Office of Administrative Hearings, I'm sorry. That's where the decision was. But I don't know of a case pending currently, but And the bill, each of the sections say they are effective the day following final enactment.
Representative Hansen. If not, any more questions? If not, I'd like to call down Mr. Aird from the Township of St. Louis, Supervisor. Mr. Aird.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak.
Please state your name for the table.
My name is James Aird. I'm a supervisor of Midway Township in St. Louis County. We're located just south of Duluth, and we border Duluth, Proctor, and Hermantown. If you enter Duluth on I-35, we're the last township you're going to see before you go down the hill. We have a comprehensive plan which is updated as the needs arise with input from an active community interested in responsible management of our town. We also have an active planning and zoning committee. For years, we have been subject to repeated attempts from the city of Proctor to annex parts of all of our all of our township for nothing more than our tax base to support the services they feel they need in their city. We currently have an orderly annexation agreement with the city of Duluth, which we feel better serves the needs and wishes of our residents. The agreement allows for the city of Duluth to annex part of the township immediately and spells out how and when future annexations can occur. The agreement also allows for extensions of utilities which are otherwise unavailable. Further, the agreement allows for joint and careful planning for future development in the best interest of both the city and the township. It's essentially an agreement where both parties benefit and not to the detriment of the other. We happen to believe in township government as the best way to provide the services our citizens want. The constant threat of annexation and the costs involved is not in the best interest of our citizens. We are currently spending thousands of dollars to fend off yet another attempt to annex the township by the city of Proctor, in spite of the fact that we have an agreement with the neighboring city of Duluth. We would hope that you would support this bill as a method whereby the residents of a township can choose to enter into an agreement which is in their best interest and in the best interest of the annexing city, and put an end to the excessive costs we are incurring by defending ourselves from hostile actions that are not in our best interest. Ends my comments if you have any questions.
Questions for the testifier? If not, the next person I'm going to call down is Jake Benson.
Thank you.
Mr. Benson, welcome to the committee.
Chairman Nelson, committee members, thank you very much. I am Jake Benson. I'm a city councilor in Proctor. Proctor's 145 miles north of here on I-35. You have to go through Proctor to get to the city of Duluth. We're bordered on three sides by two cities and Midway Township. We had a property owner from Midway Township who wanted to extend the boundaries of Proctor so we could get water and sewer. Well, we went to the Office of Administrative Hearings. That ended up going into district court when the City of Duluth and Midway Township joined together for a court action. Now that is in the Court of Appeals. For cities, this is a troublesome bill. This is a bill that would allow mischief, handshakes, and a wink of an eye between cities and townships. This provision will be abused, stopping a neighboring community from having any sort of annexation consideration regardless of appropriateness, need, or desires of the property owners and citizens. It's happening now. Changing Minnesota annexation laws is not good legislation. Existing annexation laws make it easier for cities and towns to have the resources to compete for new jobs and provide public services to residents and businesses. There are townships under the sphere of common interests of one city. They work with that city. They attend the schools, work in their businesses. They attend churches, and they use the city services, much like Midway and Proctor. We don't want anything to change in Midway. We've told them that often. This is a conversation that's been going on for over 30 years, and we only entered into an annexation process because we had other property owners wanting to annex into Proctor, and we just didn't want to go through court battle after court battle after court battle. I've seen the annexation agreement between the city and the township. I've listened to their city council meetings. Neither communities want annexation. This law is going to do nothing other than kind of facilitate the status quo. Would harm the residents through higher taxes and more expensive costs, because that agreement states that the city will only take the land when it's developed. In the meantime, such agreements are cutting economic development options, as the city of Duluth has tried to do for Proctor for decades. I could acknowledge that there are some adjustments that could be needed to the existing law that might be appropriate, but those changes have to be done within the context of established House and Senate rules. Long established deadlines have been missed. Why have deadlines? This is not what we do in Minnesota. There are 9 amendments on this bill. I care, and I haven't had a chance to read them yet or even digest what they have to say. All annexations now have to be filed through the Office of the Administrative Hearings Boundary Adjustment Unit. They are impartial. It's not political, and it works. Ladies and gentlemen, I plead with you not to change the law. Let the OAH do their job.
Thank you, Mr. Benson. Any questions? If not, I understand Brad Peterson and Craig Johnson want to come down. That's the next on my list. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Craig Johnson with the League of Minnesota Cities. And after the last testimony, I think my comments can be fairly brief. Like, a number of the issues that I would have covered were just covered. So I just want to make it very clear, the League of Minnesota Cities does strongly oppose House File 1425. This is not just about a fix for a couple cases that people feel aren't working right. This is a major change to annexation law for all attempts to use two provisions of annexation law in the state. And these issues have not been put through any considerable process of discussion between cities and townships since this bill has come up. That is correct. Mr. Peterson will talk more about that. To the bill itself, Section 1 members makes a major change. It says that if an orderly annexation agreement has been reached between any city and a township, no other annexations can occur in that township if it would affect the area they've agreed to under an orderly annexation. It's interesting that while we're talking about setting up situations where people can use things as loopholes, we're creating a major one in that section, where a township could make a deal with one city to make sure a neighboring city on the other side of the township can never do an annexation. But it doesn't just affect that situation, it affects annexation by petition as well. Private property owners would no longer be able to petition to have their piece of property annexed to any city if they were included in the area the township and the city had made an agreement on. That would no longer be allowed because of the change this is making. And finally, it could actually interfere with public health and safety work that is currently required by the State Pollution Control Agency in cases where there is a broad failure of septic systems and there's a public health and safety issue. Right now, that does report, and it's actually a piece of legislation that this body has gone forward with in the omnibus environment budget bill. Goes to the Office of Administrative Hearings because an annexation is usually considered as part of the formation of that sanitary sewer district.
Yes.
This provision says the ordinance could not be passed by a city that was not already a party to an orderly annexation agreement. So one city could actually prevent this being properly done by an ordinance through another city unless major changes were made. I would just add that it's still true that there could be an annexation done under Section 1, but both the township and a city that was not party to it, the city that has signed an agreement with the township, would both have to agree before a property owner could get their land put into a second city that was not a party to that agreement. The second section of this bill is characterized as preserving the 2006 agreement on annexation by petition, which is very strictly an individual property owner wants to take a piece of their land, annex it to a city for a certain purpose. And in 2006, we agreed that that should be of a limited size, and you should only get to do that, you know, one time in any given year from your property, so that it's not being a constant series being done all at once. And the change that is made here actually now says exactly the opposite. It says even if what you were hoping to do is just take a small piece of your land, say you have a 200-acre farm and you wanted to put 20 acres into the city as a new development, but wanted to keep farming the rest in the township, you now would have to not be able to do that by petition, would have to go through the orderly annexation process, and the township would be able to say, no, we're not interested in you doing that. And that certainly does happen. It's frequently why people use annexation by petition. It's because it's a much simpler process, and it's a single property owner asking for permission to do something with a piece of their property. So, members, right now, in this language, that would require you to subdivide a piece of your property, wait 5 years, and then do it by petition, or start trying to negotiate with the township to see if they will let you do that, which may or may not work. So you might be sitting waiting for your development for quite a while to get that done. So, members, the League does oppose this. We had hoped to have some of our city administrators here today that have a significant experience with annexation law and how this would affect their communities. Unfortunately, this is the annual conference of city administrators and managers yesterday and today. So they're at that, and none were able to change the schedule to be here this morning. So thank you, and with that, I'll be happy to answer questions.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Bradley Peterson with the firm of Flaherty & Hood here on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities and our 85 members from around the state. As you are all learning, annexation issues are highly controversial. And generally, if you want to make someone unhappy, you say, hi, I'm here to talk about annexation. These are very complicated and need a lot of due consideration. Through the early 90s to the mid-2000s, there were a lot of really vicious, ugly annexation fights here at the Capitol, year after year after year after year. In the last 4 or 5 years, there have been many fewer of those types of fights, and I think there it's for several reasons. Primarily, though, because the practice in the last several years has been to try to negotiate and work together. This started really in 2008 and 2009 when the legislature created the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Advisory Task Force, which had several township members, several city members, and several legislators sitting on it. And they issued several reports. This is the interim report from February 2008. Here's the final report from February 2009. Lots and lots of pages in here. It's all on the Municipal Boundary Adjustments website. If you haven't read these reports, you should. They will give you a rich understanding of the issues and the controversies and the differing philosophies between cities and townships when it comes to development in the state of Minnesota. It's dry reading, but it will give you really, really good context. From these task force came several very modest recommendations that everybody agreed on that became law, and that was a good practice, and that worked. Last year, there was an issue relating to detachment of property from a city into a township, sort of reverse annexation, if you will. And Representative Howes and Senator Carlson asked us to get together with the townships, and we did. We worked up a bill in 2010, put it out late May 2010, introduced it, let everybody look at it over the summer and into the fall, and then made a few tweaks based on some feedback from folks, and passed it in the 2011 with overwhelming majorities in both houses. That is how the process should work. We find ourselves today 6 weeks past the legislative deadline. Now, in this process, I've been reminded that nothing is ever dead at the Capitol. And that is true. except this is the first breath of life that this bill has had. Hasn't been heard in the Senate. This is the first hearing here. And so, you know, in Mr. Sulem's testimony, he said that, you know, there were efforts to try to have discussions. That was the week of the first committee deadline. It was March 11th that this got introduced in the House. And we were given to understand that it would miss, that this bill would miss the deadlines. And it did. And there hasn't been a lot of discussion since then, because frankly, you know, representing local elected public bodies, I try not to spend a lot of my clients' time and money on bills that miss deadline. This is a very controversial issue. This needs a lot of attention. There will be a lot of unintended consequences. I can guarantee you if this bill were to pass into law this year as it is written, we will be back next year with three, four, five examples of people who are not able to do what they need to develop their property, communities who are not able to do what they need to grow appropriately. There will be lots of problems with the approach taken. And so with that, we really respectfully ask that this bill either be tabled or defeated outright.
Questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifiers. I understand what you're saying about process and complexity, but then I look at this map and I see, you know, I've seen some creative redistricting lines in the past, but this is really, really something. I mean, in terms of creativity, to have annexation. So how do we deal? I mean, I think the bill is probably here because we're dealing with the reality of the map. And when we have a creative action to try to provide getting around the process. So how do you deal with this? How, if we don't have a bill through the existing process, how do you deal with this? Because this doesn't look right. This looks extremely creative. And we have, when we have this much creativity here, I think people start asking questions. When people try to be as creative, if it was a redistricting map, we'd say, wow, this is quite something. For annexation, I say, wow, this is quite something. How do we deal with this? How do citizens deal with this if this happens in Minnesota?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair and Representative, one, I don't have a copy of the map. I'll believe that it's a creative map by your eye. But that really the point is that absolutely, if there's a problem, then we should look at it. We should discuss solutions to it. That's not what this legislation does. This legislation says you can't use this tool anymore in the way it was drafted. We're just going to make sure that there can't be a problem because you can't get your property in by petition unless you've had it subdivided for more than 5 years, or you do an orderly annexation looking at all the acreage you own, not just the stuff you're trying to get annexed, which really makes, you know, very little sense. It's not, you're not trying to annex the 200-acre farm. You're trying to annex the small portion of it as a private property owner in the case I cited in my testimony. So I think there would have to be looked. You know, if there's an abuse or a perceived problem with any law, what we want to do is sit down, look at what caused it, and how can we avoid it. And that's what we have done on other annexation law in the past. It's why we came back and tweaked the detachment law 2 years ago, and it's why we took over a year working on that language, to make sure we limited the unintended consequences while still fixing the problem that was identified. And that's what I would suggest is the right solution on this, is to work on it, look at what the problem is, and try and fix it.
Mr. Peterson.
The only thing that I would add is, you know, as Mr. Sulem said, you know, nothing that we could do here today will fix this specifically. And so in terms of a desire to find a solution, I think, you know, since there is not the urgency, that it would probably be appropriate to take some time, dig in, do a little bit more study, and we're happy to do that over the interim, and we've shown that we can do that on these issues, but doing so now in the context of 3 weeks from the end of session, I mean, the Tax Conference Committee met for the first time last night. That's the beginning of the end, is not the way to try to solve these very complicated problems.
Representative Freiberg.
I guess I should preface my comments by saying I'm nothing close to an expert on annexation law. I was on a city council for 9 years, but annexation tends not to be an issue that happens in fully developed inner ring suburbs like the one I represented. So I had to do, while there was some testimony, I did a little bit of research on annexation law. And I can see Representative Hansen's point here, because the map did really kind of jump out at me. And, you know, it seems like it's an effort to work around the 120-acre limit that's in here, comparable to some sort of gerrymandering proposal like he suggested. I don't know that. So to me, at least, the issue is not just whether any potential legislation would fix this specific situation. I have to imagine, though, when something like this happens once, there's the potential it could happen again. So it does seem like potentially there is the need for some sort of legislation just to prevent what appears to be an end around the law from happening again. Now, I don't know that this legislation is the perfect solution to it. I don't even know that I have a question specifically. I guess I'm just more commenting that it does seem like it might be a little more pressing than you're making it out to be. But if you do have a ideas about how this type of situation could be addressed, I'd be interested in hearing them.
Mr. Johnson, Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is the section that we suggested when we initially talked with townships, that we thought there would be plenty of items we could discuss. We haven't done that yet. So I think we would be able to dig into that. I think there are plenty of ways that you can work within the existing structure we made to make it so a private property owner that wants to do some development that they would prefer to have within a city's boundary that their property already abuts has a way to arrange to do that without really trying to disincent that ever happening in the most cases possible. I don't think that should be the goal of the annexation by petition allowance in statute, is to try and limit it to as few cases as possible. It should be to make it a useful tool that can be used properly. And I do think we could work on that, but we have not had the opportunity to do that.
Mr. Johnson, I guess the question I have, we heard about court and we heard about it went to the OAH. Is this under being appealed now, the decision of the OAH? Is there a court battle going on this right now? Has a filing been made, Mr. Peterson?
My understanding, and I'm looking at the folks from Ortonville, is that, yes, this is currently, at least that situation, is currently in district court. They filed the appeal in April, so a couple of weeks ago, I believe.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that we've got somewhat of a compressed timeline here, and we have a number of amendments to look at here today. And I'm the author of probably the vast majority of those. And what I'd like to bring to the committee's attention, like Representative Freiberg, I also have extensive municipal experience on this. And I can tell you I've seen where orderly annexation works marvelously well. And I can see where lack of any kind of planning will just create problems into the future. And I'm not going to say cities are right, townships are wrong, townships are right, cities are wrong on this. What I'm going to cite for you are examples of poor long-range planning. I'm familiar with a city that has a township that built property or built a subdivision one half block outside of the city. Why? Because the township let them. Those individuals lost the ability to get potable water. Those residents came to the city and said, please help us. Well, the problem that we have is Nelson's well might have gone out before Freiberg's well did. And Nelson goes knocking on the doors of the neighbors in his subdivision and says, hey, let's get together as a group and go for annexation. Why? Well, I'm having trouble with my well. Freiberg says, no way, mine's fine. Nelson goes and makes the investment and upgrades on his systems. Freiberg comes back 3 years later, knocks on Nelson's door and says, hey, Nelson, you were onto something 3 years ago. Let's go ahead and do it. You probably guessed why Freiberg's over to Nelson's door. Nelson says, forget it. I've already made the investment in a brand new well. Well, if there's more folks now that have the same Freiberg story, guess what Nelson gets to do? Pay not once, but twice for those services. That type of development should never have been allowed to happen one half block outside of the city limits. And that's not just one subdivision, that's multiple subdivisions. And it was noted earlier, as soon as those areas start having troubles, here you go, city, take care of that for us because you've got municipal water, you've got municipal sewer, and oh yeah, even though you can charge back, go lenient on these people because it's going to be a pretty heavy expense. And then I've seen people who will advocate for the residents of the township saying, well, that big bad city, they don't need to be charging you that much for those services. And this committee has heard me talk about Statute 429, which is the municipal assessing for special assessments in here. And the city can't charge more than the value received. And so that means if it costs lots of money to bring municipal services and sizing out to that area, and they can't show value to those benefiting properties, guess who gets to pick that up? The general fund of the city. In a properly executed orderly annexation agreement, residents will know a timeline where they can expect certain levels of service. And these things are slow, maybe even contentious, but at the end of the day, you know what the rules are going to be. In Article 9 of the Environment Bill, if we pass this bill out of committee today, is in stark conflict. Why? We could have a community that has maybe 1,000 residents strike a deal for orderly annexation. That community doesn't have sewer and water. These residents start to get into trouble. Guess what happens? We're before the Minnesota Department of Health, and they're going, who do we give these folks to? How do we deal with this? Because there's not potable water anymore. We've got ground contamination, which I know nobody in this room runs on ground contamination. What are you going to do? That city doesn't even have that. There needs to be a sense of reasonableness on this. And I would suggest to this committee one of two things. Either we vote this down, and I won't even get into process and why we're having this conversation 2.5 weeks before the end of session. Vote it down or table it. These are big issues. 6 years ago, this legislature grappled with the issues of annexation to get us to where we are today. The problem with that is everybody in this room and everybody in the legislature has cities and townships, and no one wants to pit one against the other. I have a fear that this is what's going to happen. This particular map that we see, I can cite you example after example after example of things that had happened that were poor planning across the state of Minnesota before the orderly annexation agreement and improved legislation that came in 06. Mr. Chair, I don't think we should be moving this out today. And if I have the commitment of this committee, I will not offer these amendments, that this gets tabled, and that the parties work in earnest with one another like they've been able to do in the past, and that this does not show up as an amendment on any other bills this session. And if it does, that this committee will step forward and say, we heard it in committee, we tabled it, and it needs to have more work. As the phrase for this session is, it's not ready for prime time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sulem, you want to come down to the... And please stay there. It's a question I have for all of you. I guess the question I have for all of you, is there a way that this could be worked out? I mean, in the interim, can this get worked out? I mean, this seems, looking at the map and looking at, here, listening to testimony, there seems to be a difference in, and this is maybe a sledgehammer being used to drive in a finishing nail, in my parlance, that I, as a carpenter, this seems to be a rather large club to fix a problem that's maybe a disagreement between some people in a small area, and it's affecting them and affecting the whole state. Is there a way that this can get worked out if we leave this goal and lay it over and have it worked out in the interim? I mean, can the three of you come to some sort of compromise that would be more narrow and tailored and maybe deal with this issue down here but not affect every place else in the state?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sewell.
If I may. Obviously, we are always open. I have extended multiple invites. believe it or not, from despite what you may have seen this morning, I do think the three of us work very well together on a number of issues. I consider them both to be friends, professional colleagues. You would have my solid commitment to continue that invite that we negotiate. That said, I would hope that it would be true negotiations. Unfortunately, you know, again, Representative Driscoll, we could have long discussions about process and timelines and all the rest. We've had that discussion in the hallways. I respect your position, but this bill was put out in March, deadline or no deadline. It's a bill. We all play this process. There was time to discuss it then. An invite was extended to start negotiations at that time. This, you granted us a hearing a couple of weeks ago, and it's been delayed about a week and a half. Again, as soon as I was contacted by Mr. Gelbman that this hearing was going to occur, as a courtesy, I contacted my colleagues to say, hey, you're going to hopefully get this notice, but I was just called that this hearing is scheduled. Let's sit down and meet. The first time that happened was this past Monday. If the cities will commit that we are actually, and then it was a very, we'll negotiate, but only in these terms. If we have a commitment to real negotiations, absolutely I am there, but I need to know that they are actually serious negotiations, that this committee is watching both parties. I mean, I accept responsibility that we need to talk, but I need to know that there is a commitment, that it is a good faith negotiations and not just a stall technique.
Mr. Johnson, Mr. Peterson, same question, I guess, if you can answer.
Mr. Chair, and as you and some of the members of this committee know, we have been tasked with this many times in the past on this very issue, and have always spent our interims working very hard to resolve whatever problems we can on annexation. I cannot guarantee we can come to consensus. That you never can guarantee that before you start, but I can assure you it will be good faith negotiations. We're very used to working together. We just need to define the problem and see if we can come to a common approach that we think addresses the problem.
Members, part of the reason we called this hearing was, you know, in a lot of cases when bills get brought, it sounds like nobody talked about it on the two sides till we get a hearing. Sometimes a hearing will put pressure on and to get the issues out on the table. And I think with that, I'm going to lay this bill over because I think that's not ready. I don't know if it's not ready for prime time, but I don't think it's ready right now. And I think that things I've heard in the background from both sides, there hasn't been a lot of serious negotiation going on. I think there's probably a solution that can fix this problem here for this city and township, but not more of a narrowed approach, but not the sledgehammer that I think this bill currently looks to be. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, I mean, whenever you're concluded with what your comments are, just as the bill's author, I'd offer some closing comments, too, so I just wanted to make sure I had that opportunity.
Representative Falk, why don't you give your closing comments then?
Well, thank you. And members, to this bill, I mean, it is fairly narrowly drafted. Some people may have differences of opinion, but one of the things we've repeatedly heard from folks representing the cities is that this would require you to have to go through the orderly annexation process. You wouldn't be able to go through a petition. You'd have to go through the orderly annexation process. That is exactly what we want to happen. When you have the two parties sit down at the table and negotiate in good faith, and both parties have a voice at the table. It's not just one having all the leverage and the other side having none. That's the whole purpose why we put the orderly annexation process together. We have seen abuses here in that process, which is why this is being brought forward. I thank Representative Hansen for his comments, referencing the map, which clearly shows that there was, for lack of a better word, some type of gerrymandering going on there to circumvent the law. I want to go back through some of the comments that were made. If this is a slowing down of economic development, I argue to the contrary. Because in order for a city to be able to benefit, the township has to lose that property's base. The townships get no dollars from the state save for the gas tax money we give to them. We give cities local government aid. We give counties county program aid. The township's only real value that they have is their property taxable base. And so when they continue to lose property tax or taxable base within that jurisdiction, the property taxes to cover the services have to go up on their other residents. One of the things, too, that the mayor from Ortonville stated was this was good for the city because it would bring in additional dollars to the city.
Once again, it's directly at the detriment of the township. And if this type of development, like has been alluded to here, were to go forward, and the township says, hold on a second, we want to do land use zoning and put in conditions that protect our interests in the first place, they lose that right, that should be a red flag, because there is a problem. If they have identified a fact that they want to go and have an orderly process for how they go and determine the land use that most affects their residents, they should have that right. That should not be taken away from them by an outside party, of which residents in the township have no elected official in the city to go and voice their concerns to. Their voices are completely shut out of the process. This really is not an expansion of the pie. It's a dividing up of the pie in a way that I think is very unfair. The issue in Proctor as well, I think it's ultimately about a situation where you've got one city that's trying to go and take some value and put it into their base at the detriment of the township. We have saw that there was an orderly annexation process already in place between the city of, or the township, and the city of Duluth. That is contract law. Perhaps the other party doesn't like the contract law, but that contract is still in place. It's no different than if any of us individuals engaged in entered into a contract with another person. That contract law is still valid. Same thing if a person engaged in a contract with a business, or a business engaged in another contract with another business. These are two local entities that have enacted a contract together through the orderly annexation process, of which we want them to go through. So the process is working. What we have seen, though, is a couple examples of what may be to come where the process would break down, and it's entirely to the benefit of one side, not the other. As far as process goes here, yes, we have committee deadlines, but we also have kind of a safety valve, which is also part of the process, which means that bills go to the Rules Committee, or the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. That was the motion for this bill, to go to the Rules Committee. It is completely following the process. And so I take some disregard to the fact that people keep saying that the process is not being followed. If a bill doesn't go to the Rules Committee, then you're not following the process. If you send it to the Rules Committee, you are following the process. We have that in place exactly for these type of situations. And so the argument that this is not following the process, I just do not take that to be a legitimate or valid argument. We have professional lobbyists here that their job is to go and watch things in the legislature. This is what they get paid to do. They get paid a whole lot of money. Some of these, in this instance, from other local units of government, of which we're oftentimes appropriating money to. And as you can see, you know, I probably have some agreement with some of my friends on the other side of the aisle about this, that maybe it isn't always the most appropriate use of dollars to go and be paying for representation to go and further your interests at the Capitol. But this is one of the things, too, where these folks are watching these issues continuously. So to argue once again that the process here is the problem versus actually acknowledging the real problem that is going on is an argument I do not buy. So I just respectfully say, members, that we'll continue to work on this, but it would be my intention to continue to move this forward, because I do acknowledge that we have a problem here and we have to address it, and this is forcing the parties to actually sit down and negotiate in better faith than had been done before. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
And members, we did not have a quorum when the bill started, so Representative Falk moves the House File 1425 be passed and moved to referred to the Committee on Rules. And with that, I'm going to lay this bill over, and I'm going to charge the townships and the cities to work on this, and I'm going to also charge the City of Ortonville and the Ortonville Township work this out. I don't think we want to, I don't think any of us want to get involved in local matters on these type of issues when we don't have to. And it works better for everybody if you can work things out and talk to one another. And Representative O'Driscoll?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify one of the comments that Representative Falk made at the end. He said he plans to advance this. Is your intention, Representative Falk, to advance it globally in a process or yet this session?
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative O'Driscoll, you know, we always work on different pieces of legislation, and I know that you've had different avenues that you've worked on bills in the past, too. Right now, we've got a little bit of time for these parties to work together, and hopefully they can get some find a compromise or a common ground that we can actually all agree to and move forward. But if there's not a willingness to actually sit down and do serious negotiation, then I, like you, have every right to go and introduce a bill or offer an amendment on a piece of legislation that is germane.
Representative O'Driscoll.
I respect that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Falk, I respect that, but my question was very specific. Are you going to continue to advance in the last 2.5 weeks that we have here? Because one of the reasons why I said that I would be supportive of tabling this is that it wouldn't go anywhere legislatively this year, that the parties would agree to come to the table and to get things done. Do I have your commitment on that? Otherwise, I'd ask for a vote, Mr. Chair.
Representative Falk.
Mr. Chairman, Representative O'Driscoll, right now this bill is being laid over in this committee. It's not moving out of this committee. The motion, which at the time we didn't have a quorum, was to send it to the Rules Committee, but it is still within this committee's jurisdiction. And so, I mean, I'm not going to give you a solid yes or no because, one, we don't know if these folks will actually come together with some agreement on some portion, whether Section 1 or Section 2 of this bill, but, you know, you as a member of this body, just as I do, have the right to go and offer amendments to any bill of which that amendment would be germane, or to go and continue to work through the process. And so I'm not going to go and say that this is something that I'm willing to go and entirely stop for this legislative session if we continue to get movement on it. And if we cease to get movement on it, then perhaps, because we know that there are problems here, we may have to move it forward. But I think that you're asking for, you know, a lot, being because you're saying that, you know, stop this immediately or else I'll offer amendments. Right now we're not voting on the bill or amendments at this moment. We're just laying it over in this committee.
Representative Freiberg, have you read the minutes from the previous meeting?
Yeah, they look good.
Representative Freiberg moves the minutes from the April 17th meeting. All in favor of the minutes as printed, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. With that, this meeting's adjourned.